Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to follow along, today I'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Good morning to you. I came today to talk about grace. And as a matter of fact, I've been studying through the passages of Scripture in the New Testament about grace all week, and it's made me very eager to get here, and I hope you've come hungry for the Word of God. Tonight, we're going to be talking about grace. The reason is that when I got to working on this, we were going to be here till 2 o'clock, not that long, but I decided that as a favor to you, what I would do is split this up so that I'm going to preach on grace this morning and grace this evening too. So you got to promise to come back and be part of the evening service. Now, this evening, what we're going to do is to, when we meet, we'll have a short kid sing. And some of our boys, the young ones, the little ones, are going to lead a verse of a song each. There'll be a half a dozen or so of them. And then we will start our worship after that. And I want to finish up the lesson then. Now, the way this is going to work is two different sets of four. And if you're keeping notes, it'll be easy to do. So this morning I want to talk about the nuances of the definition of grace. Fascinating. That grace is, we talk about grace and we use it in different ways too, don't we? I mean, you get to the table and doesn't somebody sometimes say, would you like to say grace? Is that okay to do that? As a matter of fact, it is. Or we talk about 2 Peter chapter 5 and we talk about the Christian graces, chapter 1 beginning in verse 5. The Christian graces, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness. And those are Christian graces. That's what we call them. And then we come together like we're doing this morning and we sing together. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The songs that we sing are so often saturated with the concept of grace. No wonder, you know, when you elevate this to thinking about what the Lord has done for us to deliver us from our sins so that we could have eternity. I'm telling you right now, we sing amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like. Amazing grace. And we use grace in different ways. Anyway, tonight, when we come back, the list of four has to do with key verses that teach principles that we need to have. I want to give you four important principles about grace. And so I hope it's going to be a good day for us. So here's where we start today, is with the definition of grace. This is Strong's Lexicon. And when I'm going to read it to you, but it's a little bit laborious. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, complicated. Well, what if we did this? The word kindness is not a perfect synonym for grace, but it's pretty close. I wonder if it wouldn't help us in our worship if we use the word kindness instead of the word grace sometimes when we sing. Does it make a difference to you if you sang amazing kindness? How great the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because really, the essence, the thread that runs through all the definitions or nuances of definition that I'm going to show you this morning, what is a consistent thread is kindness. It is kindness. Anyway, here's the Greek word definition from Strong's. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. What is due to grace, the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace, the token or proof of grace, benefit, a gift of grace, benefit, bounty, thanks for benefits, services, favors, recompense, reward. Really my goal, I mean, when I started working on this for this morning, was about our singing. We have great singing in the West Huntsville family, and if you're visiting this morning, I hope you've enjoyed our singing. But of course, the singing isn't primarily for our ears, is it? We come to worship our God, and Colossians 3 and 16 says something about grace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are you ready for this? Remember? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What does that even mean? What does it mean that when we sing, as we've done this morning, that we're singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord? Well, we're going to talk some about that, but I tell you what, I want that. I want that for my worship. I want to finish my week, and sometimes our weeks are hard, and we come together like this, and we sing praise to God, and it needs to come from somewhere deep inside of us. And it does, you know, when we sing with an appreciation or kindness. You get a hold of that, and I'm telling you, it'll change your singing. Maybe it might not make you sing on key any better, but it'll come from a better place. You sing with grace or kindness in your heart to the Lord. All right, here we are. Four definitions. Not really four, but definitions, but four nuances of the definition of grace as you find it in the ways used in the New Testament. The first one, and this may not surprise you, and I want to use the word kindness. It is kindness that emphasizes that it's not merited. If I took a poll of the church right now and we all gave our own understanding of the definition of grace, what do you suppose the definition would be? I suppose it would be unmerited favor. And in the scripture, you really have that. But what I want to impress you with is that that definition is not just about God. I mean, it's biggest about God, of course. But it's something that's required of us, that we exhibit, that we give this kind of kindness to people around us. Here's Romans. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. This is King James. Mind not high things, now get this, but condescend to men of low estate. It doesn't mean that you're condescending in a rude, arrogant way. That's not the point, of course. It is that there are people who, for one reason or another, are beneath me. Again, I don't mean that in an ugly way, but I'm thinking about, for example, an employer who has lots of employees. I don't have to be kind to them. I pay them. This is their job. It's what they're supposed to do, and I want to make sure they get it right. And why should I have to be kind to them? And this verse would answer that. That there are occasions when I'm around people who aren't blessed like I am, and I have an opportunity. Don't you sometimes come out of a restaurant and somebody is there and says, I'm hungry. I wonder if you'd give me something for food. I just need something to eat. Now, I'm very hesitant to give somebody cash, and I'm afraid they may drink it. But if somebody says, I want something to eat, my response is, and I know it's probably true about you too, you say, well, come on in here with me, and I'll just go up to the lady and I'll say, I want to take care of his meal, right? I'm not trying to toot my horn. I'm just saying that that's an example of what this is teaching. Now, if you want to enlarge that to the greatest extent, then you talk about our sin and the kindness that God showed us. Can we use that word kindness in place of grace just to get a handle on it, really understand it? When you say unmerited favor, is that a little bit theologically difficult? But when you say kindness, so here's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. See, what do you suppose a dead person has to recommend himself to God? How much do you suppose a dead person could pay in order to be alive again? That's the point, see? Is that here's kindness that is unmerited to us. We can't, well, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses. And then he says, but we were made alive together in Christ. Now watch this parenthetical note. By grace you are saved. Substitute kindness. Because, for kindness, because of kindness, you were saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse 7 is the same idea, same concept. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that, are you ready? This is worse than those first two. While we were yet sinners. Got it? Kindness that is unmerited. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My favorite illustration, I guess, old story about kindness unmerited is from 1935. Mayor LaGuardia, mayor of New York. Now, he was a mayor. You probably are familiar with the name LaGuardia, but he was a mayor before he was an airport. And anyway, he was very popular. Now, LaGuardia was, he served in New York as the mayor during the difficult days of the Depression on into World War II. And he was beloved. He was a short guy, they said, but he was beloved because he would get among the people. He would do things that other people might not be prone to do. If there was a strike at the newspaper, and during his tenure there was a big strike, lasted a long time, and he knew that the kids really missed the comics on Sunday mornings. So he'd get up early on Sunday morning and he would go to the radio station and he would broadcast the reading. He would read the comics to children early on Sunday morning. Well, people just loved that. They loved it about it. Well, another example is one night, LaGuardia went to the poorest part of New York to night court. And he had the ability and the authority to do this. He goes in, they're just about to begin court, hearing these cases. There are about 70 people there. And LaGuardia says to the judge, I want you to go home and have a night off. I'll handle your cases. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And LaGuardia then was the judge for that evening. Well, he heard a couple of cases. And so directly comes a woman, a haggardly looking old woman. And what is the charge? Your Honor, she stole a loaf of bread from one of the local grocers. The grocer was there. And he said, ma'am, did you steal the loaf of bread? Yes, sir, I did. I'm guilty. Why did you do that? Well, she said, my son-in-law has abandoned us. And my daughter is very, very sick. And my two grandchildren are starving. And the judge turned to the grocer and he said, so you want to, drop the charges? And the grocer said, no, sir, I don't. I've just made a policy. This is a very tough neighborhood, really a hard neighborhood. I've just made a policy that I never drop charges. If people know, if they steal from my store, I'm going to press charges and I'm going to be here in court, and that's what I'm going to do. And the judge then, LaGuardia, said, well, to the defendant, I'm going to have to punish you. And the punishment for your crime of stealing the bread is $10 or 10 days in jail. And as he was saying that, he was reaching back for his wallet and for his big hat that he liked to wear, and he took out $10 and put it in the hat. And he said, now, I'm going to pay your fine. And he dropped it in the hat. But he said, the second thing I'm going to do is to fine everybody in this courtroom 50 cents each for living in a town where a woman who is suffering like this has to steal bread in order to survive. You had petty criminals in there, they've done little things. You had policemen. You had the grocer. The grocer was sitting in there, and then he shot the hat around, and everybody put in 50 cents, and there was about 70 people in there. It came to, I think, $48 and change, and then he gave it to the woman. And the courthouse erupted in applause. See, the first definition or nuance of definition of grace is it's kindness, which is not merited. The greatest expression, of course, of which is to you and me, because we were dead in our sins and we had nothing to purchase salvation, nothing to recommend ourselves to God. Now here's the second one. This one is kindness in Scripture, and yet it is kindness which brings about joy and pleasure and delight. And the time when it's most often seen in Scripture is with speech. So follow me on this. This is gracious speech, or speaking with grace. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says that the people came around Jesus and they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Now, what does grace mean? Again, the common thread is kindness. There was a kindness to Jesus that was very attractive. And they marveled at that, and they said, isn't this Joseph's son? that we know him, the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Now, what I want you to understand is that this is something which is bound on us. In Ephesians 4, in verse 29, here we go. Let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what that means? I'm impressed with how stark that command is. It's very much like one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's very plain like that. Don't talk like this. Now, you know what corrupt communication means? Corrupt words. It would be filthy words. Four-letter words. It would be taking God's name in vain. That's corrupt. That is blasphemous and corrupt. Is anybody in this room doing that? Are you using speech in your work week that would be categorized by these words? Corrupt speech, corrupt communication. He says, don't do that. You stop that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Now get this last part, because this is where I'm going. That it may impart grace to the hearers. What does that mean? It means kindness. It means that Christians, as a matter of course, are people who are concerned about others. And the speech that we use and the communication that we use with other people ought to be focused on kindness. That I want people to identify Christians, he says, as kind people. That's how they are. That's just their nature. What about Colossians 4 and verse 6? Isn't this the same thing? Let your speech be always with grace. Ever think about what that means? Well, it's the opposite, of course, of having corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It's not that. Let your speech be always with grace. Is that typical of you? Is that how you talk to people? Are you short with people? You have a short fuse, a short temper, maybe even brag about it. Do you do that? This would be contrary to that. Christians are people who speak with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer every one. So the second nuance is the kind of grace that communicates to other people pleasantness or delight or joy. Now, here's number three. This one is thankfulness for kindness. And the word grace is used for this. Now, this is where you get the idea of sitting down at a table and somebody says, would you say grace? Now, I don't know if you say that or not, but you've heard it before. And what I've seen here, I want to show you, is that that's not an inappropriate terminology to say grace or to give grace. And the reason is that the word charis, which is the Greek word for grace, it's 156 times in your New Testament, 11 of those, it's translated thank or thanks. So here's 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 30. But if I partake with thanks, now stop, here's the context of this. And Paul is talking about a problem that's been a real problem for early Christians. It's about meat that you buy at the market that's been sacrificed to idols. And Paul is developing this. He said, look, his position is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you go to the market, don't even ask questions. Go to the market, you buy the meat. It doesn't matter what was done to it before. You're not offering obeisance to idols by eating that meat. Go ahead and eat the meat. It's no big deal. Now, it is a big deal for Christians to endorse evil. And so today, we're scrutinizing ourselves, aren't we? Through our days, and there are some things that we just don't do because it would imply to others that we endorse something that is sinful. That's the whole point of this eating this meat. Now, Paul says, now, if you go to somebody's house and your host is serving meat, and when he serves it, he says, now, this meat is offered to an idol, or we're eating this meat in tribute to an idol. Paul says, don't you put that in your mouth. Don't you do that. Because it would be to endorse evil. It would be to suggest or imply that you are okay with that. So it's in that context that Paul says this. If I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? In other words, it is appropriate for us to be grateful for this, and we give thanks. Now, the reason I raise this again is because the Greek word for thanks here is grace. It's grace. It's that I'm giving thanks for kindness exhibited to me. And thus I'm expressing grace. Have you ever considered that the word thank you in various different languages often is grace? Spanish? What's the Spanish word for grace? Or, I'm sorry, for thank you. What do you say if you want to say, you say gracias. What's that? What? Grace. It's grace. Latin is the same word, gracia. Gracia is Latin for thank you. What is what? What is grace? It's grace. You're gonna make fun of me, I know, but French. You know what the French word is for thank you? Merci. Right? Mercy. Mercy is the same concept. It is that I want to thank you for the kindness you have shown to me. It's grace. It's about grace. The third nuance then to this word is that it is thankfulness for people's grace that they've shown to you. And here's the last one. This may be my favorite for this morning, and I want to conclude with it. It is a state in which a man lives in grace. Now, the Bible uses analogies for where Christians are. The emphasis of this is that we live in the embrace of our God. We live in the warm embrace of our God, in His mercy and kindness. And so 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, you know what that, it just means if we live our lives striving to follow the New Testament to be faithful disciples of Jesus, we're going to sometimes stumble and fall, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is to say that we live in a saved condition. Let me put some different words to that for you. All right, go to the next slide. Here's Romans 5, the first couple of verses. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Pardon me. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, let me show you 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Same idea. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the, ready? True grace of God in which you stand. Now get that. It's a metaphor for your Christian life, but it emphasizes that you and I live in a saved condition. You're walking in the light. Romans 8 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We stand in God's grace. We stand in His kindness. We live in a saved condition. Now hold that analogy, that metaphor of standing. We stand in His grace. Let me show you something kind of interesting. When you go then to Galatians chapter 5, the first four verses, he talked about people who are justified by the old law, Christians that are going back to the old law, and he said, you're fallen from grace. How do you like that? It's not, standing in grace and living in a safe condition is not the same thing as saying you can't fall from grace. So we're standing, we're in His grace, we're walking in His light. I can live in such a way as to reject Him and I will fall. I will fall from grace. Is it possible for a person to fall from grace? Well, I declare to you, you cannot fall if you're not standing. Right? You're standing and then you fall. An awful tragedy is that people sometimes do leave the Lord. But you won't do that. And I won't do that. And what we're going to do is to strive every day to be what God wants us to be. That's what you and I are about. And today in this assembly, we join together with a common thread. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And what that's about is that we're united in this one thing. We want to go to heaven. And we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. What do you call that? You call that standing in grace. That's what it is. What's grace? Kindness. It's kindness. And so when we sing our songs, what we're going to sing is with kindness in our hearts to the Lord. The longer you ponder that, I'm going to tell you, it'll have a real effect on the way that you sing praise to Him because He's so kind. May I ask you a question? Has God been kind to you? The fact of the matter is, you may be thinking right now about the difficulties in your life, and maybe you have had a hard life, and maybe you're having a hard life right now. But I don't know about what it's people that have a hard life that can even better appreciate the kindness of God. God been good to you? Want a word for that? Grace. when I became a Christian, he gave me his kindness, the kindness to redeem me when I was without hope and I was dead in my trespasses. And for by grace are you saved. And so when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. But his father saw him. Father saw him and had, are you ready for this? Compassion. See, this is grace. This is the kindness. It's not that he deserved it, mind you. He didn't really. Of course, he had spent his father's inheritance in riotous living. That's not what his dad worked all those years to make that money for. Not so his son could use the money with harlots. But his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry, because this my son was dead. He's alive again. He's lost and is found. That's me. That's you. And you serve a God today who is a God of grace. And when we worship him, we sing our praise to him because he is kindness. He is the epitome of kindness. It doesn't mean that he is without law. It doesn't mean that a person can't rebel against him. But it does mean that we serve a God who truly loves us and is not willing that any should perish. Tonight we'll take up with where we left off. There are four things I want to talk about, major principles you got to get about grace. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who needs to obey the gospel. Let me tell you something. You've had the grace of God extended to you. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I wonder if you're ready to accept that grace. By obeying the gospel, you can repent of your sins and confess him, and we'll baptize you into Christ. Or if you need today the prayers of the Christians, need to make some things right, to get things squared away, to let people know where your heart truly is, we'll be so glad to pray with you this morning.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.